This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, October 10th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Amazon Pharmacy plans to offer same-day delivery to nearly half of the U.S. by the end of next year. We'll discuss the ambitious plan in our next segment, but right now, the Consumer Price Index for September leads today's data. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. The CPI for September, the first of three reads on inflation that we get every month that determine Fed policy, especially when it comes to interest rates. A 0.2% increase month over month, 2.4% year over year. A little hotter than forecast, but what does this mean in the overall fight against inflation to reach that 2% target?
Well, this is not the progress that the Fed had hoped to make. One of the things you see here is that the headline is still basically on a declining mode, a measurable declining mode. And a lot of that is because of energy prices. Energy prices have continued to be weak in the fall. And, of course, that weighs heavily in the headline for inflation. But the core rate is stuck, and the core rate isn't falling very fast. In fact, if you look at the core for goods, the core for services, you had this month an increase in core goods prices, which has been unusual. Those prices have been falling. And so we wound up with much less, actually no progress in core inflation month to month this month. And that had been expected. So the Fed is looking at this, and it's got to decide whether there's enough going on here. Let's remember, if the Fed cuts interest rates while inflation is too high, which it is, it's over the Fed's target, and where progress has really slowed down, what they're doing is they're reducing the ability to make further progress in the future at a time that inflation is over the top of its target and already not making much progress. So I actually think this undercuts the case for rate cuts an awful lot more than the people in the market seem to appreciate right now.
When the when the CPI figure is at 2.4% and the target is 2%, are we talking about a last mile problem as far as monetary policy is concerned in reaching that target, or is this a last half mile problem?
I won't argue whether it's a mile or a half a mile. The Fed's target, of course, is articulated in terms of PCE, not the CPI. So this isn't quite the right thing to look at against that 2% target. But these are both important price gauges. I think that what we see here is that we have been over target for 40 months in a row, and the Fed is not really that eager to make sure that it hits the 2% target. It's still forecasting it's going to be a while before we get down to 2%. And I'm just concerned, how long can you keep missing the target and convince people that that's still your target? The pledge that the Fed made was to make inflation 2%. The pledge it made was not to make inflation 2% at some point in the future and make you suffer with higher inflation until then. And I think that's something the Fed needs to confront. They need to realize that they are missing their target. And promising that they will eventually hit it really doesn't compromise. You can't tell me that the Titanic is waterproof and that you're going to feel the leak when you get to harbor, when you're in the middle of the Atlantic and you hit an iceberg and the water's coming in.
And then very quickly, Bob, if we can just talk about first-time unemployment benefits ticked up a little bit, 258,000. How much of that is related to the various strikes we have around the country, plus the impact of Hurricane Helene?
Right. Well, that's right. We've got those two things, and we don't get the state-by-state data until next week from the government. The state detail lags. So we'll find more about that next week. Until then, you're going to hear talking heads and making things up, and I don't want to make something up for your listeners. But those are the two effects. We know there are special effects there, and so I would take this number with a grain of salt. You've got people doing write-ups saying, oh, finally, we see that increase in jobless claims you're looking for because the labor market's weakening. That's not true. Be careful of people that are saying that. That's not true. We don't know that. In fact, we know there are temporary distortions there.
Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Amazon Pharmacy upping its delivery game.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As national pharmacy chains shutter locations, Amazon is looking to expand its role by expanding its drug delivery operation. Let's learn more from Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like we have a bit of a chicken and the egg situation as far as Amazon and the pharmacy chains are concerned, and that is the existence of Amazon really did a number on the front of the house business at a lot of pharmacy stores, and as a result, it forced them to close the back of the house business, the pharmacy, and Amazon is now poised to basically cash in on both.
Well, that's true, because by the end of 2025, nearly half of U.S. Amazon customers are expected to be eligible for same-day delivery. That means you could order it at 4 p.m. and get it by 10 in Seattle. I mean, that's crazy delivery. And, you know, on the good side, maybe that's going to help people who are living in pharmacy deserts, right? There's not too much around. But on the other side, I don't know in Chicago, but in New York, there's, you know, a Rite Aid, a Walgreens, a CVS, and a couple of independents. And so that puts a greater amount of pressure on those people and on real pharmacists to actually look at your medications. You know, Amazon's going to be mostly robotic arms and automations in their delivery centers.
Yeah, I was going to say, in my particular corner of suburbia in Chicago, when we take the kids to the doctor and they say, we're going to send you your prescriptions to a particular Walgreens location, we have to say which one, because there are two of them in our town. So we're well covered from a pharmacy perspective, but there are some drugs that are or some things that are quite easy to get in which Amazon could do fairly well. But what are some potential blind spots in their system?
Well, I think you might end up finding that, you know, patient privacy and complex health care and concerns about bringing all this data to Amazon. You know, I've said it all along when they first got into grocery, the reason I went to get grocery, so I know it's in the basket. I know who probably lives in your house and what they tend to eat and their preferences, and I can map that. And now I can overlay your medical information at scale. There's no stopping it. And I know that's kind of like AI, right? Everybody's saying, oh, you know, the sky is falling. Well, there's a gray area here, I think, for everybody. Yes, it could be convenient, but the pharmacy deserts aren't where there's four or five pharmacies. It's where a little independent guy or gal is sitting there filling your prescription, maybe 10 or 15 miles away from home. And at the end of the day, it is progress moving on, but it's going to have up and downsides.
And speaking of the downsides or potential roadblocks that Amazon can run into, can they fill antibiotic prescriptions? And also, what happens to the delivery of opioids, which are tightly controlled, and there are very distinct rules and laws that pharmacists in a physical location have to adhere to?
Well, that's a good point, because a physical pharmacist has to be able to review those prescriptions. Although, you know, having said that, CVS and Rite Aid were some of the biggest ones with hydrocodone prescriptions that were just being done over and over again in a lot of rural areas. So, there's an awful lot of gray in this, Rob.
That certainly is the case, and I'm guessing some of those questions will be answered when we actually see it, but another sign that we live in a changing world. Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Chicago's hometown airline is increasing its flight footprint. Do you want to have your sexy summer giveaway in Greenland?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
We'll have the answer next.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Chicago-based United Airlines launching flights to 8 new overseas destinations. Welcome in Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And does this mean that this summer, Joe, I can book a direct flight from O'Hare all the way to Outer Mongolia?
Not direct from O'Hare, but United is, really being aggressive here. It's an exciting announcement. They're adding about 9 new cities, and 7 of them aren't served by other U.S. airlines. So you almost need to get out your atlas to see where some of these are, because they're really pretty novel locations that don't see a lot of major air traffic.
Yeah, once again, I was going to say I'm very thankful that I got to play the computer game Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego when I was in grade school, because I know where some of these cities are. Now, are they just being added by United? Can you get direct service to any of these new destinations from Chicago, or do you have to go from Newark or Washington?
Well, most are from Newark, but what's notable is they're going to re-add their really successful service last year from Chicago to Athens. A number of other European destinations are coming back. So they're pretty bullish on Chicago, which has been a good thing. Of course, they can't count the new international facilities in Terminal 2 can't come soon enough, but they're going to have to be patient for that. But these are mostly from Newark and Tokyo. But it's really remarkable. They got flights to New Greenland a couple times a week. They're running to Bilbao, Spain, which is sort of a niche leisure destination, Palermo, Italy. You know, so these aren't your usual Paris, Amsterdam, London flights. They're really designed for those specialty tourists, and it's a pretty big story.
And then just that one flight to Greenland, how do airlines really serve Greenland? I mean, especially flagship American carriers?
You know, not really. You see a lot of cargo flights that need to refuel, and it's sort of a safety stop on a lot of routes with these twin-engine jets where if you have problems, Greenland is there. But we are seeing Iceland and Greenland being increasingly popular locations, you know, as cruise stops and things like that. So they're only going to do that twice a week from Newark during the summer. But it is kind of a sign of the changing times that the tourism market is evolving to some of these niche locations.
And also, it's a pretty bullish bet by United that this summer is going to be, this upcoming summer in 2025, is going to be a pretty busy one for their system, because not only are they adding new destinations, but the airline is staffing up in a big way.
Oh, that's right. They're going to run 760 weekly flights over the Atlantic, which is the biggest ever for the airline. So it's really a ramp up that's bigger than we thought. And I think what's good for the airlines lately is the old thought was international strong, domestic's going to be weak. But we're seeing domestic being okay, too. It's not gangbusters, but it's above projections. And the pilot shortage is also alleviated. We'll have to see what fares are next summer. That's still a wild card, but demand should be strong.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, Meta looking into augmented reality technology for its next explosion of growth.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Hurricane Milton leaves behind a trail of death and destruction. The latest next in a CBS News special report. A member of a legendary American political family has died. Technology Thursday, Mark Zuckerberg's Meta is looking to capitalize on its breakthroughs with smart glasses. And upscale grocery chain Foxtrot continues its comeback. We'll check in with its co-founder and chairman. Business markets are mixed right now. The Dow down 112 points, NASDAQ up 6, and the S&P 500 down 9. AccuWeather says for the rest of today, sunny, pleasant, high of 73, upper 60s along the lakefront, going down to 54 tonight with mainly clear skies. Could see lows in the upper 40s in the suburbs. 69 degrees right now at 1231.
CBS News Special Report. Hours after Milton made landfall in Siesta Key, Florida, cleanup and damage assessment. Bradenton Beach Police Chief John Crosby.
Seen a lot of wind damage. Roofs have been compromised. We've had some structures that were compromised. They blew off the stilts.
At least five people have been confirmed dead. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Clearwater, where he says so many people have been rescued from high water.
What's incredible is this is an area that was under one of those mass evacuation orders. But 18 inches of rain, the equivalent of 3 months worth, fell in just a few hours' time, catching those that did not evacuate off guard.
In a video, former President Donald Trump with a message to those impacted.
We are deeply saddened by the devastation being reported, and it sounds like it's as bad as it gets. And we feel so sorry for you, and we want God to be with you.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
It's 12:32. Ethel Kennedy, devoted human rights advocate, widow of Robert F. Kennedy, has died. She was 96. She suffered a stroke 1 week ago. Ethel Kennedy was a mother of 11, including one child born 6 months after her husband was assassinated in 1968. She was born in Chicago, grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut. President Obama honored her with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2014. The noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Gary, we'll talk about market activity in just a couple of minutes, but how are you holding up? How are things going in the city beautiful this afternoon?
Well, you know, Orlando got hit, but not like the West Coast. The West Coast, I can only imagine, because the one word that comes to mind is water. So that type of damage, we'll only know in the days ahead. Orlando got hit with some serious wind and rain, and as I was driving around this morning, there's some things down, but I didn't see a lot of damage from what I... So we dodged a big one here, and it just tells you, and I've been through many hurricanes. I've lived in Florida a long time. You got to respect them because they absolutely have no bias. They will come and get the rich. They'll get the poor. It'll come and get anything. The good news with hurricanes, you can prepare. And unfortunately, this go-round, there were some tornadoes that killed. Very tough to prepare for things that come out of nowhere.
And also, you have firsthand experience then with the economic disruptions that storms like Hurricane Milton bring, because I think we take for granted all of the support structures that we have just to get up in the morning and go through our daily lives. And if that infrastructure is not there, that can set you back by days. It can set you back by weeks, months, or even years.
Yeah, and that is correct. But I must say, because of the experience of having this been going on for many years, and I don't know if you remember Andrew, that was just utter destruction in the southeast Miami. I think we're a lot more prepared and are up and up front before these things, and really are prepared for the worst case scenarios, and that enables us to get back quicker. But leave no doubt, it is a lot of manpower, a lot of days, a lot of weeks to get things normalized. And now we've had two in a row, so very, very tough. But I will say this, that the governor has been front and center, has done a very good job, but there's going to be a lot of work to be done going forward.
Now, the business of America is business, so let's talk about some of the numbers that came out today. The Consumer Price Index showing a 0.2% increase month over month, 2.4% on a year over year basis, an indication that either inflation continues to go down or it may be sticky, and that last 0.4% could be the toughest to get rid of.
Yeah, I believe inflation's higher than the statistics. And in the last month, a lot of things have moved up in price. So that's something to watch. And of course, because of the Middle East, oil prices have been starting to go higher. As I've told you many times, if you want the best indicator, watch the 10-year yield, not what the Fed's saying or doing, but the 10-year yield. We have gone from 3.6% to 4.1% in recent weeks. So I think that could be indicative. And that is something to watch very, very closely, because I've been one to say that the Fed missed the inflation on the way up. We're on the way down because they stopped money printing. I'm wondering whether they're missing it on the way up again. And again, I'm watching that 10-year yield. And if you start hearing me say 4.5%, then I think we got some trouble going forward, because I still think we're a very debt-laden society. Credit card usage has skyrocketed. Late payments for autos and credit cards have been going up. And I like being optimistic, but I'm also a big believer in reality and the real numbers. So fingers crossed. We'll keep watch and watch, of course, the job market. If it stays in shape, I think we're okay if we lose that. And it has been softening a wee bit, nothing real bad. Then there can be trouble that lies ahead.
Gary Kalpam, President, Kalpam Capital Management, thank you for the on-the-ground report from Orlando, which is, like most of Florida, recovering from Hurricane Milton today. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, why Meta is doubling down on smart glasses.
It's a deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Meta is digging deeper into augmented reality technology through its smart glasses. Let's discuss the effort with Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. Looking back through the mists of time, Matt, to 2 years ago, before we really started talking about AI in a meaningful way, the wave of the future was going to be virtual reality or augmented reality, and you could walk around the metaverse and live your life there and make your transactions there. And it was such a bullish moment that Facebook rebranded as Meta. But Matt, as the AI boom kind of took off, virtual reality and augmented reality took a back seat, but it seems like it continues to move forward.
Thanks for having me back, Rob. Yeah, it's so I think there was a little misunderstanding about the metaverse. The metaverse is not, you know, just a virtual world that you can walk around in. It's actually a mix. It's a mixture of virtual reality and augmented reality. It's more like talking about sort of the next generation of the internet, which is spatial. It's 3D. It's always around us. You can access it through a lot of different devices, either a virtual reality headset, augmented reality glasses, your phone, your laptop. But it's persistent and it's always there, and it does sort of operate more in three dimensions than flat screens like, you know, like we're mostly used to working with the internet today.
And it seems like they're starting to have some green shoots as far as their investment in this technology is concerned. There was some success through a partnership with Ray-Ban for AR glasses, and they're introducing the next phase in that technology.
Yeah, so MetaConnect, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but they showed and demonstrated what are called the Orion augmented reality glasses. So these are actual AR glasses that are, frankly, years ahead of anything that's been released on the market. The Ray-Ban glasses, those don't actually have anything visual currently. So they have cameras on them, and they have an AI assistant, and there's audio, so you can speak to them, and you can hear sound coming from them, but there's really nothing visual in your line of view. The Orion glasses, on the other hand, they have almost the same capabilities as like a Meta Quest 3, but they're AR, they're augmented reality. They only weigh 100 grams. They're very light. They're see-through. This is what a lot of people who have been sort of waiting for AR glasses have really been waiting for, this type of technology.
And what is the use case that people can really grasp immediately? Because I feel like the turning point for AI tools like ChatGPT was you can just play around with prompts and then the AI app would give you a paragraph or a paper or several pages on a particular topic based on that prompt. And that is where it had its viral moment. For AR and for what Meta is trying to do specifically, what is the use case there that can make people, you know, really take notice?
I mean, the ultimate use case for AR glasses in general is to almost supplement or replace a lot of what you do looking down at your phone. So you can do it all, but you don't have to look down at your phone. It's in your line of sight at all times. Honestly, one of the really cool pieces of technology that they demonstrated, which I think is not getting enough press, is that wristband, that like the wristband controller that they have, which is, you know, based on a company I think they acquired, which I remember seeing the technology back in 2019. I've been waiting for this since. But that controller allows you to kind of control what's happening in your line of sight on the AR glasses without really having to type or without having to even be necessarily like speaking or recognizable to the people who you're around. So you can interact as if it's sort of interacting with your smartphone, but you don't have to look down. It's in your line of sight at all times, and it has that type of processing power.
And then could this be a real a game-changing device while you're driving? Because even though every state has laws regarding texting and driving, and even if you do drive in a hands-free mode, you still have to play around with the display in the car if you want to change the radio station. Why would you change the radio station? Or make a phone call or do other things, even like turn up or down the air conditioning. That takes your eyes off the road. So is this another case in which the AR glasses could be a safety feature?
Yeah, it's navigation is one use case. It's one thing that it could be used for. But really think about almost anything that you use computing for. You can do all of that as you're walking around. Obviously, you don't want to be too distracted. We don't want to talk about, you should be checking email while you're driving or even while you're walking around in the street. But there are other things, like you would normally glance down at your watch for a notification that you got a text message that could just appear in your line of sight. You don't even have to look for it. It just shows up. So there's things like that. All of those capabilities are what this is going to be used for. It really is, it's an always on, always in your line of sight visual replacement for everything you do on your smartphone.
Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago. Thank you for joining us on this Technology Thursday. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, an update on a Chicago grocery chain that's coming back to life.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Two locations of the revitalized Foxtrot grocery store and cafe chain are open in Chicago with more to come. And that's only part of the comeback. Let's get an update from Mike Lavitola, chairman and co-founder of Foxtrot in Chicago. Mike, thank you for joining us today. And we're about a month into the Foxtrot 2.0. And how's it going so far?
It is going really, really well. I got to say, it's just so exciting to be back in the stores and seeing all of our guests back and, so many of the vendors that we've worked with along the way back on the shelf. So lots and lots of work ahead, but it's been an exciting start to fall here.
And what have you learned so far about the rebooted Foxtrot? I mean, not only as far as your relationship with customers and vendors are concerned, but maybe it could be, is it a different experience this time compared to the original?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know if it's so much learning it, but it was just really seeing how much our customers valued relationships with so many of our vendors around town and, who is roasting the coffee, who's making the donuts or like a favorite sauce that they couldn't get anywhere else. And just realizing how important having, shelf stocking those items was, both for the vendors of course, but like really how much those customers missed being able to get them.
And then what does this tell you also about just the health of the retail and restaurant and food market in and around downtown Chicago? Because just disruptions in the way people live and work coming out of COVID-19 forced a lot of restaurants out of business for good and businesses that served the office market. You have an on-the-ground view now via the revitalized Foxtrot. And what can you tell us?
What I can tell you is that a lot of people work from coffee shops. we are the first two locations that have opened back up are in Old Town and in Gold Coast. So, very, very kind of neighborhood driven, locations, and they're vibrant. We were fortunate to not have many locations that were, sort of in the loop or in the central business district. Folks are working out of all kinds of interesting locations, and that's actually been one of the challenges is how do we kind of balance folks coming in, having a coffee, wanting to have a meeting with people also using it as an office.
And then lastly, the new app is up and running or will be up and running soon. And how does that change the Foxtrot experience?
Yeah, so when Foxtrot started, we were just an app, right? And the entire company was about delivery, and then our stores came afterwards. So in many ways, this is back to basics for us. There's been a whole lot of times over the past 6 months where, I got the kids down and I needed that bottle of wine and some cookies delivered, and now our customers are going to be able to get that experience again. So it's everything that you know and love about the stores, but showing up to your house in about 30 minutes.
Mike Lavatola, chairman and co-founder of Foxtrot in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.